All right, let's go on further. Next up, we have the Rabbit Africa program. Do we have our guest on the line? Abdul Haq Katrada is on the line. And we'd like to welcome him on the program. Abdul Haq, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakum Allah khairan once again for the opportunity. Unfortunately, Mawlana, we didn't meet last week, but this week also we're not meeting, but inshallah we'll do it over the air with you.
Inshallah, jazakallah. Yes, the reason, if I just might mention, that Abdul Haq's son is not well, request for special du'as, inshallah he's not well. Make special du'a, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant him shifa ikamila mustamirun, ajilun ghayra ajil.
Ameen, jazakallah Mawlana.
Ameen. Alright, you listeners, it's your phone-in program. The number to call for the program, the SMS numbers are 48855, and alternately the other SMS number is 0825808070, 0825808070. We're waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs. Call us, inshallah. It's preferable that you come live on air. Number is 0118541548. Later on, inshallah, towards 7:30, we're going to be talking about the 18 apps that make driving very easy. But, you know, we're going through technology, Abdul Haq. It's, you know, Allahu Akbar, it's such a speed. And if you're driving a car, you know, these cell phone applications can make life much, much easier. But, only the top-end luxury cars come with native applications and tablets. Now, the talk about Uber, it's while Uber helps people with, you know, transportation, etc. You know, regarding this, you've got to understand also that a moment's loss of concentration can lead to injury. So, Abdul Haq, inshallah, will talk about the different apps, for example, saving petrol, navigation, and, you know, maintenance, speed, etc. And more about the dashboard and views, something very, very interesting towards 7:30, inshallah. All right, Abdul Haq, yes, let's take on the calls. Number to call again, 854-1548, SMS 48855, and 0825808070, 0825808070. Abdul Haq, question coming through here with regards to the calipers. What are the calipers and what is the function of the calipers on the braking system?
I suppose this is more of curiosity from somebody. But alhamdulillah, look, calipers are basically what your brake pads are housed in. So in other words, when they replace the brake pads, it fits into the calipers. Calipers are very, very simple sort of system. It also obviously works on what we call pistons. Some vehicles have two pistons per caliper. Some vehicles, bigger vehicles, the heavier luxury vehicles, as you would say, they would have about four pistons, two on each side of the caliper. Basically, what happens is when you apply your brake, all that happens is you are now putting pressure via the master cylinder, and then pressure goes to the calipers, where the pressure actually pushes the pistons out, which pushes against the brake pads, and that pressure puts pressure against the discs, and with the result, this is where you get the stopping from. So this is basically a caliper, and this is how it actually works. And yeah, there isn't much to a caliper, so I can't give you a long one on that, Mawlana.
All right, JazakAllah for that. Abdul Haq, question, the brother says, with regards to preventing disc brake dust, he's got a Toyota Corolla, and it collects a lot of brake dust. Anyway, with regards to how to prevent this disc brake dust actually forming there?
Gee, Mawlana, look, unfortunately, you know, since the banning of asbestos in the brake pads themselves, in the manufacture of brake pads, you know, the compounds that they're trying out and using, unfortunately, does create a fair amount of black dust that comes out from the brake pads. And yes, the other thing is it differs from I would say from the brand to the from one brand to the other. You do find certain brands obviously do give off a lot more or let out a lot more dust from there. And unfortunately, it's going to be a rather difficult thing to you know, to actually get rid of. Back in the day, I recall very, very clearly when you bought a set of mags, they had one big plastic cover cap that would go over the caliper and the disc and everything else, and would prevent the dust going onto your magnums. But what happened is, Mawlana, that wasn't very successful, because simply what happens is the brakes were not then cooling off enough, because you must remember the outside air is what's cooling your brakes down. And if your brakes tend to overheat, you could have brake failure, because obviously the brake fluid takes only X amount of heat. And what happens if the brake fluid gets too hot, you will have a loss in pressure. Obviously, it won't be as effective. It won't be, as effective as a fluid, as a hydraulic fluid, to actually operate your braking system efficiently. So yeah, it's actually something that we don't recommend people do. Is go out and make these covers and buy these covers, which they don't make anymore, from what I recall. But you know, some people still want to make them and do them. But as far as the brake dust is concerned, unfortunately, as I say, it differs from brand to brand. And after the banning of asbestos in the product, simply for our safety as the mechanics, because we work on it, that's one of the reasons, and unfortunately there isn't much you can do about it.
All right, jazakumullah. 70 minutes past 7 o'clock, waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs 48855 and alternately 0825 80 80 70, and the WhatsApp also on 0825 80 80 70. Abdulhaq, the brother's got a Nissan Maxima. Regarding his car, there's a bit of a hesitation and misfiring when he accelerates the car. What could be the problem? Maybe a vacuum leak along the line, Abdulhaq?
Very, very possible, but what we go normally to the basics is, first of all, obviously you check the spark plugs, if there's any sort of defect on the spark plug itself. Then you look at the coil wires or the bogey cords. A lot of people refer to them as bogey cords. Then we refer to them as HT leads, which is the actual correct word for them. It's high tension leads, because what happens is it carries your spark wire or your distributor in towards your spark plug, and inside that actually is made of a very, very different compound. Sometimes bending it more often than not would break the contact inside. That would also cause something like that. The bogey cords are inclusive of what we call the suppressor. The actual suppressor that goes over the spark plug, and that also, if it has some sort of crack in it or anything like that, then you will have misfire or hesitation and pull off. The other thing that, like you mentioned, Morana, is if you have a vacuum leak on the inlet vacuum side, then obviously that will also create a misfire. The actual rubber pipes, or vacuum pipes we call them, would fray from heat and things like that, and that could result also in a misfire. The other thing is also on the Nissan Maxima, you could pick up misfire on the fuel injection side. As far as the injectors are concerned, not so much, but more when the fuel pump. I've had it on the Nissan Sentra as well, where if the fuel pump is not efficient enough, the initial pull off, you get that sort of hesitation, and once the vehicle is moving, then it moves quite okay. Unfortunately, like we did, as I said, I went through all the basics, and the end result I got on that was the fuel pump itself that was playing up on the initial acceleration. But once it was going quite okay. Nissan Maximas, unfortunately, not very popular cars. I wouldn't say difficult to work on, but sometimes they can give you a headache.
Okay. SMS question coming through. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Marana, I have a Nissan Almera Auto. Just when I take off, I notice car makes a squeaky sound. And when I press the brake slowly, it stops. What could be that, please? Maybe a rat stuck somewhere along the line.
Jim, sorry, Marana, what is that?
Not maybe a rat stuck in the air fuel filter.
No, I don't think a rat would last long enough in there. but you'd be surprised, Marana, in the vehicle itself. Diverting a little bit on the topic. What the rats actually do in the vehicle is not amazing. It's actually irritating, and it can be very, very costly. Coming back to the question, Marana, as far as the squeak is concerned, initially on pull off. And as you accelerate, the squeak, you say, goes away.
Yeah.
When you touch the brakes lightly, the brakes. I found on the Nissan Almera, the rear brake shoes, the actual springs themselves, somehow tend to lose the, I wouldn't say complete tension, but a fair amount of tension. And what the result is, when you release the brake, the actual brake shoes themselves are not coming off the brake drum. And you get that slight sort of squeak. Not sometimes it can be a bit more than that. You get the squeak, and when you actually touch the brake lightly, you'll find that the noise is there much more sometimes. If perchance, like when you're driving at a higher speed and you apply the brakes, you'll find it's not there. But that is due to the tension in the springs. And I personally would suggest that very importantly is get the springs from the agents themselves. And make sure you put a very good set of brake shoes. It has drums in the back. It doesn't have pads. So it has brake shoes. And get a good set, a very, very good set of brake shoes on that vehicle, and that should sort out your problem, inshallah.
Inshallah, jazakumullah for that. Mm-hmm. Let's go on for the Abdul Haq with regards to compression checks. One brother buys and sells cars. He wants to know regarding a compression test to check the compression when purchasing the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
How expensive is this gadget to test the compression? And also, how do you test compression in the engine, Abdul Haq?
Well, there's a couple of ways of doing these things, but obviously, if you want to be a do-it-yourself fundi, good luck, you know, because the older vehicles was rather easy. You know, you pull the suppressor off, you took the spark plug out, you screwed in the compression tester, which is not, you know, it's relatively cheap, it's not an expensive item. And obviously, you got somebody, well, what we would do in the older vehicles, you would actually pull off a coil wire from the coil or from the distributor cap, to prevent the vehicle from actually starting while you're doing a compression, because you don't want the vehicle to start. All you need is the engine to crank over a couple of times. You know, you then stick the compression tester on top, screw it in, you get the other type, the press on type, you get the screw on type. Both of them are equally efficient, and obviously you'll get some of them which is you know, the actual needle itself sticks where it should be, so you can do it as a one-man job. You know, you put it in there, you make sure the thing is on zero, all you do is crank it up, switch off the ignition, you come back to the front of the vehicle where the spark plug is, and you have a look at the gauge, you'll be able to read your gauging. Obviously, on different vehicles, you have a different compression ratio and stuff like that. So, you know, if you go and see Mufti Google on your particular vehicle, it will give you some idea at what it should be plus minus. Coming back to the newer vehicles, Molana, some of them are a rather difficult task. For example, if you look at some of these, you know, VWs and things like that, you actually got to remove the inlet manifold to change the spark plugs. And then you got to start becoming a proper mechanic to be able to remove these things and actually do a compression test. But if you want to do it yourself on the older vehicles where the plugs are easily accessible, not a problem, with pleasure, you go out, buy one of those compression testers, do a compression test. And then it's very simple. If you don't have the specs either, you know, all you got to see is more or less, you know, you got an equal amount of compression on your cylinders, and that we refer to as a PSI per square inch. You know, X amount of pressure per square inch. But yeah, and the other thing is, you know, you can do another test with the compression as well. Is when you put your accelerator flat when you're cranking the motor, and that will give you obviously a different reading, because now you're opening the air intake system. So yeah, it's rather simple, but like I say, on the new vehicles, you don't have what we call bogie cords or HT leads. Then you've got to actually remove each individual coil from each cylinder and do that test. All right, on the petrol, it's very, very easy. It's like, as I said, basically straightforward. But when coming to the diesel, you're going to have a problem, you're going to have an issue. Mm. Because obviously you're going to have to remove the diesel injectors and all those sort of things. And very, very importantly, when removing diesel injectors, they have certain spaces within the, you know, within the actual cylinder where your injector goes into. So I would suggest, when it comes to diesel vehicles, go and have a look at someone do it physically. Because getting those injectors out and things like that, it's not an easy task. And very importantly, when putting back these injectors, they got to be torqued to a certain limit, because they have what we call a crush washer. The crush washer should only be crushed X amount, and that would create a perfect seal in the cylinder. If per chance you have damaged the crush washer in removing it or putting it down or dropping it or something like that, then obviously you've got to replace it. And when you replace it, the correct torque is very, very important, because then it will crush it X amount only. So, you know, be wary of these sort of finer details. If you really want to, I mean, you know, Google will tell you how to do it, but Google won't actually show you how to do it. So I would suggest, if you are a guy who sells vehicles, maybe, you know, give your mechanic a call or your technician a call and say, listen, the day you're removing injectors and things like that, let me come and have a look how it's done. I'm sure he's not going to say no to you. Go and have a look how it is done, you know, what precautions taken, what sort of way everything is done, what sequences things are done in. And some of the times it's rather important, the sequence of how things are done.
Okay, lovely. Jazakumullah. Abdul Haq, diesel engines, traditional diesel engines, are they as eco-friendly or are they eco-friendly? How eco-friendly are they compared to petrol engines?
Look, Munana, today, you know, today, I mean, with technology, looking at the older engines, yeah, you had so much more, fumes and things like that coming out of your diesel engine, which obviously took it out of the exhaust. Many times you'd see there's black smoke coming out and all kinds of stuff coming out from the diesel motors. Petrol engines were a little more efficient because the tuning was rather more accurate as far as your gas analyzing is concerned and things like that. With the newer vehicles, Molana, you know, you look at your catalytic converter, for example, that is specifically built into the exhaust system to remove unburned fuels and all these sort of, you know, they call it go green. Even the other thing is the fuels are so much more controlled by your fuel injection computers, your onboard computers, the levels of fuels, the amount, the supply of fuel. To every cylinder, you've got an oxygen sensor in the exhaust system as well, which will actually indicate to the vehicle as to how much of unburned fuel is going out, how the computer should actually organize itself as far as fuel, amount of fuel it's supplying.
Mm.
So with the newer modern stuff, it's rather much better, much easier. But yes, to a certain degree and to a certain extent, you're still going to get fumes and all this stuff getting out the exhaust system, Marana.
Okay, lovely. Jazakallah. Abdul Haq, the brother's got a Nissan Almera again. He says, the clutch noise is one problem. And he says the clutch does not release completely when the clutch pedal is fully depressed.
When it is fully depressed?
Yeah.
I mean, the clutch is fully depressed and it does the pedal does not come back?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Basically, is he also got the noise on the vehicle?
I don't know.
All right, okay. I thought I heard you saying there's some sort of noise on the clutch problem. All right, not a problem. That is rather easy because that sounds so much more like your hydraulics on the clutch system.
Yeah.
We have two basic components there. One is your clutch master cylinder and the other is your clutch slave cylinder. Either or are leaking within themselves. So what is happening is it's not holding the pressure in the system within the chambers, different chambers that it should actually hold in, and with the result, you're not getting your pedal coming back up. So that basically is there's no sort of real spring system that brings it up. The spring system would rather just keep it up a little bit, but the hydraulics on the clutch is what would cause the problem itself. But a little difficult to actually ascertain or to determine exactly which one is the culprit when it comes to something where it's got an internal leak, not an external leak. So sometimes it's more advisable to do both of them simultaneously instead of doing one and then going back to do the other one. My suggestion on that is do both of them simultaneously and inshallah that should sort your problem out. But coming back to those components, Mana, back in the day it was easy, very, very easy. You just got the kit and you put a new kit in. But I would suggest, with the car getting older now, get the cylinder measured, check it out to make sure that you've got, the cylinder itself is not worn within itself. Otherwise, you can put a new kit in and you can go blue in the face, bleeding it, and you probably won't come right again with that. So then more than likely, it's sometimes advisable. If the car is more than 10 years old, I personally would like to put in a new cylinder complete.
Lovely. Jazakumullah. Number to call, 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers, 0825-8080-70, as well as 48855. Now, I was talking about, the apps we came across that makes driving easier.
Yeah.
And just last week, Brother Adil was telling me about the other apps as well. I think what he mentions is, for example, if you want trade value, retail value on any car, you got to just basically log it in and, it'll give you the entire book value, retail value, kilowatts, etc. That is a very interesting one. He's going to get that app for us. But yes, all these mobile apps, it can reduce your driving stress, save you a lot of money as well. The hacker came across one or two that, while Google Maps is the most popular navigation application, the one we normally use, the one that's called Here Maps, H-E-R-E Maps, offers the ability to download the maps, to your device, so you don't have to use data to navigate.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is true.
So what happens is that, you know, it just works like a personal navigation device with turn-by-turn instructions, and it'll also locate nearby, you know, police stations and different landmarks and petrol stations and traffic congestion, those only work when it is online.
Gee.
And also, Abdul Haq, I don't know if you heard about some WhatsApp, some apps regarding, you know, how to spot, you know, for example, Big Spotter 2, and the other one is called TomTom Traffic.
Yeah.
It allows a person to access speed cameras spotted by the other drivers.
Yes, yes.
You've come across it, you've heard about
I've
it?
I've actually heard about something like that. I haven't actually physically experienced it or had a look at it personally. But yes, there was some chit-chat about going around about that. And especially with the TomTom. I've heard where the TomTom actually has some sort of a beep on it, which allows you to pick up his sort of speed cameras in ahead. But, Monona, if you look at it now, I think we'll have to go a step ahead, because what is now happening, if, for example, like you're driving down to Durban, you'll notice these poles on the side of the road where the cameras used to be. They've got cameras within these poles, and these cameras don't pick up, you know, your speed as such. But what they're doing is they're working out an average speed.
Average speed, yeah.
From one pole to the other pole should take you X amount of time. And if it's taking you quicker than that, then they work out an average speed, and that's how they sort of getting hold of you. So it is rather, you know, advanced. But I'm sure that there will be some other apps coming around to sort of overcome these sort of things.
Yeah.
But today, Moana, you know, I'm very, very old-fashioned. People look at me and they laugh at me, and it says, you know, you're like old men. But I suppose, you know, there's a reason for a speed limit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you hear so many times someone was going to a funeral and eventually you didn't attend their funeral.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I understand where the guys come from. But unfortunately, I'm a little bit old school. My thoughts are rather be safe than sorry.
100%. Yeah. Also, another app you came across is it's called the Pig Spotter. I don't know what a name. What's pigs got to do with this? No, we're not looking for pigs, brother Salim on the other side.
No, the pigs. Probably flying pigs somewhere.
So the Pig Spotter also, brother Salim is looking at me that what this guy is looking for pigs. Pig Spotter, it also specifically records traffic, you know, accidents and also the roadblocks taking place in front. We'll come back to that, inshallah. Call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
Waalaikumsalam. Waalaikumsalam. My brother.
Brother, I got a 2001 Merc, a C200. Last month, I put in a clutch plate pressure, and of course, my gearbox was rumbling out of another gearbox. Now, from last week, I see my clutch is getting spongy, couldn't select easily, but I carried on. But today, I went to Pretoria, I had a big problem. I came back to I live in town in CB Joburg.
Yes.
That you don't want to take any gears.
All right.
I phoned my Mac. He said, look, it's rather late. If I can bring it tomorrow, but now I'm working tomorrow, so I got a problem. What do you think it could be? I put in a flywheel. The flywheel was gone. And clutch plate, clutch and pressure.
Yes. As well as the release bearing, eh?
No, didn't. Mechanic said the release bearing is, that's okay.
Is it bleeding probably? The hack normally needs bleeding.
It probably needs bleeding, but unfortunately, you know, the thing is that release bearing, to my knowledge, is a concentric release bearing, which includes your clave cylinder.
Right.
Comes as one piece, and more than likely that thing is faulty. And by not replacing if it is a concentric one, by not replacing it, you've just made problems for yourself. And if it is the problem, you're going to have to remove that gearbox again. But I would suggest, if you get into the car, obviously you say you can't make it to work.
Yeah.
What I would suggest, very, very simple test you do yourself, is, you know, where your brake fluid reservoir is in the vehicle.
Sorry, I can't hear?
Your brake fluid reservoir.
Yeah.
Is in the vehicle, right?
Right, yeah.
You go and open up. Make sure that the brake fluid is at the correct level in the reservoir.
Yeah.
And when you get into the car, is your clutch going down and not coming up again?
No. It goes and it comes up.
It comes up.
You know, I got to force it to push into any gear.
All right. So when you get into the vehicle in the morning, or if you're going to do it now, also you
maybe
can
I can do it now.
What you do is you get into the vehicle and pump that clutch up a good few times.
Right.
While the car is running.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then hold the clutch in and then change the gear and see if it goes into gear. If it goes into gear, then you definitely have a problem with the hydraulic system. That means either your clutch or master cylinder. Yes. Master cylinder is not so much of a problem on those particular vehicles. But yeah, if he hasn't changed the concentric bearing, then more than likely you could have a problem with that as well.
So if that is gone, then I'll have to change that, eh?
Yeah, but then you've got to remove the gearbox to do that, eh?
Yeah, it's a big job, eh?
It's another job. Okay. You know, that's why I always mention you do this in a kit. But nowadays, with the concentric bearings, they don't come as part of the kit. But I always recommend that if you do a clutch plate, pressure plate, you do a release bearing as well.
Look, you know? I agree, because I'm owning cars from the 50s. I'm 75 now. And I knew all along, every time you need to, with the old cars now. It comes as set, release
bearing. Yeah, it comes as set, yeah.
But in this case, this Merc now, I've got about 2 years. It's a 2001 model.
Mm-hmm.
So the mechanic said, no, this is, what word you use, concentric
bearing.
Yeah. He said, no, that looks fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so I didn't buy that.
No.
So more likely it could be that.
More than likely it could be. And you definitely have, from what it sounds like, you have a problem with your release bearing, simply because what is happening is it's not pushing your pressure plate fingers far enough to slow the clutch plate down for you to be able to engage gears.
Okay.
And that is where the problem is. I doubt it very, very much, unless, of course, you know, you didn't put a genuine, branded clutch pressure plate in there.
No.
What did you put in
that? Flywheel, the pressure plate and clutch, it cost me $6,100. I bought from in Yeovil.
Yeah, but you bought a Luke or a Sachs?
No, it's Luke.
Look, yeah, then you shouldn't have a problem. No, then you shouldn't have a problem. Because if you buy, there are a couple of names on the market, which I'm not going to mention here, that if you do buy them, we've had a problem where the clutch plate, the pressure plate, the fingers on the pressure plate did not have enough tension on them. With the result, it wasn't slowing the clutch plate quick enough.
Okay.
And that wasn't slowing down your gear in the box to be able to engage. But 9 out of 10 on your box, you don't have a problem on the box, you have a problem on the hydraulics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now tell me this reservoir.
Yeah.
The clutch and brake fluid has got one reservoir.
Yeah. On the Mercedes is one thing.
Yeah, I see it's on the right hand side, that's one.
Yeah.
So I'll
yeah.
just have to check that. And if that is okay, so.
Then you go inside, pump the thing up a couple of times, you know, quickly, like, you know, give it a good few, press it right down, let it come right up for a couple of times, and then you put the clutch in again and see if your gears change. If they do change, then obviously you're going to have a look at your hydraulic system. Mm-hmm. And as I said, if it's a concentric bearing, it's very, very advisable to replace those.
You replace that. Yeah. And it's expensive, about
yeah, it's
over 2 grand.
It's expensive. Don't hold me to that, but it's between $2,500 for that bearing.
Yeah, I have an idea, but I think it's better to do that.
Yeah, but you see, like now, for example, if he had given you the option to replace it.
I should have.
You should have replaced it.
I should have, because I know it's, I mean, for all these years, I know they all come together, the three things.
Yeah, unfortunately, but, you see, the thing is, maybe he slipped up, whatever the case may be.
Maybe.
But it's advisable for the mechanic to always mention to the client and give him the option. Because now what happens is...
It's a double job.
He's going to charge you for labor.
Labor again. Yeah. Brother, jazakallah for the program. It's
You're
very
more than
interesting.
Welcome.
Jazakallah.
Ameen. Inshallah, I hope your problem gets sorted out easily.
Inshallah.
Ameen. Ameen.
As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum as-salamu alaykum. Yes, it can be a stress as well, Abdul Haq. 7:41 p.m. Yes, we were talking about the apps a few minutes ago. Another app, dear listeners, if you can check it up, is with regards to saving petrol, because fuel isn't going to be cheap again for a long time.
No, it's going up.
And managing your consumption can go a long way to managing your budget as well. So there's an app called Acar. Acar. It's called.
No, it's APA, not Alu.
APA, sorry. Acar is a clever app that allows you to add cars, servicing, fuel stops, and what you got to do is just input what you pay for petrol at the garage. In this application, well, calculate your range, your consumption, and also the average cost per day to help you save some money. And there's other apps like, for example, you know, Fuel Buddy, etc. Mm-hmm. And there's quite a bit of these on the line. There's another app as well, Tire Expert, etc. There's another one, it's called DGHUD. It basically, you know, calculates your speed, you know, evaluation, location on your phone. Mm-hmm. So there's a hell of a lot of apps out there that you can use.
Well, this is coming back to the app of the fuel, you know.
Yeah.
You said it will be able to save you a lot of fuel, you know. And this week I was just reading through the one of the auto dealers, you know, and I came across something, you know, it's called fuel economy myths that are debunked, you know, the myths where people think that, you know, the way all these myths come about. And I thought maybe I'd just share it with the listeners a little bit, if you've got a time on, and I don't know how our questions coming in there.
Nothing at the moment, Jim.
Nothing at the moment, all right. You know, people say you may have to drive a smaller car to actually save fuel. But now, the fact below that says many of the most fuel-efficient cars in the world today are medium-sized or large cars. And I have experienced that personally with, you know, with a V8 and a four-cylinder vehicle.
You mean a V8 is not that heavy on petrol?
No. Well, no, I personally drive at the moment ST20 CDI.
Yeah.
All right. I went down to Durban in December, and on 900 rand diesel, I did almost 1,500 kilometers.
Okay.
And that was at a very reasonable speed with air conditioning working all the time. You know, so,
okay.
I mean, I don't vouch for any of these facts, but I'm just sharing with the listeners. The other myth, you know, they say you need to warm up your car before you drive it. And I think we had those questions before. Well, modern cars can be driven within seconds of being started. And the quickest way to warm up a car engine is, in fact, to drive it. Obviously not to rev the hell out of it, but, you know, to drive it. And that would warm your vehicle up also quite quickly. Then we've got another myth here. It says, as a car ages, so its fuel efficiency decreases.
Mm.
That is an absolute myth, I would say, as well, because I've experienced that from my side. A car that is properly maintained, no matter what the age, will retain its fuel efficiency for many years. So it's not about the car's old now, so it takes more fuel. It's how efficiently or how well it's been maintained. And with the result, that is the other thing. This one I have my sort of reservations on, but maybe I suppose with the advanced systems, they say manual transmissions get a better fuel economy than automatics. I have picked it up all along, but it says here, advances in automatic transmissions have improved the efficiency to the point that automatic vehicles often get the same or even better fuel economy than manual transmission vehicles today. So, you know, I haven't done much of research on this, but I just picked up the article and I came up with it. But inshallah, I will do some sort of further research on this automatic and manual transmission and come up with it. The other thing is they talk about the air conditioning system, and they say keep your windows and air conditioning off on a long road trip. And the fact is this makes no difference to your fuel usage at all because of the systems that have been developed within the vehicle, the advanced electronic systems that have been put into these vehicles. It actually makes the difference. And I found it also on my vehicle when I drove down to Durban on a long trip, as I mentioned, particularly with the aircon on. I still got that good fuel efficiency. Then they've just got a couple of facts here without myths. And the fact here, make sure, and this is a very true fact, make sure that your tires are at the right pressure. Underinflated tires can reduce your fuel efficiency by up to 3%.
I came across something that somebody told me that as a rule of thumb, the tire life decreases 10% for every 10% it is underinflated.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, because you're creating so much more drag on the road surface, with your tires, that it definitely would affect it. So it's important. I mean,
and underinflation makes the tire run very, very hot?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And with the result, when rubber actually gets hot, you will find that it tends to wear rather quickly or excessively in a short period of time. So very, very important fuel pressure. You know, the guys with the nitrogen have been talking, where you get, you know, your fully nitrogen tires, and they're talking about better tire life because the nitrogen in the tire actually keeps the tire cooler. and with the result they're getting better sort of mileage out of their tires. The other thing is, you know, the fact here that they come up with is stick to the speed limit. This could save you up to 10% of fuel and even more on the highways if you keep to your speed limit. You know, sudden acceleration all the time, you know, to sort of overtake and do these sort of things. Obviously, this does make a lot of sense. Then again, you know, we spoke about the idling, Molana, as far as vehicles are concerned. And it says here, a fact, don't idle your vehicle. Turning the ignition off instead of idling, even for just a couple of minutes, can save almost 20% of fuel. 20%, that is quite a bit, Molana. If you look at, for example, we spoke about a 3% on the tires. We spoke about a 10% on the speed limit, and then you add another 20% on the switch off and start up again and things like that. You're looking almost what 25-30%. Well, over 30%, 35%. And then the last one, it says, but this is rather difficult, I know, and that is avoid rush hour. It is near impossible for thousands of motorists to avoid it, but stay out of the rush hour if you can. The constant starting, stopping, and idling is a fuel economy killer. So that we know personally as well. You know, the more you're in the traffic, the more you sort of using up your fuel. And with the result, you know, if you look at all these things, you're saving about 30-40% of fuel, Molana. These are just facts that I have actually read out from the auto dealer. And please, nobody hold me to it. See, Molana, that is what actually comes up with this myths of the fuel saving.
Lovely. Jazakallah, Abdul Haq. 7:48 p.m. limited time, approximately 7 minutes before we terminate the program. Abdul Haq, with regards to Adebu Matisse, what actually causes and leads to water and oil mixing? Let me tell you, the brother says the car was, you know, just basically started every day, not driven, and when he got the car to the house, it was fine. This morning they realized that water and oil is mixing. So what could be the underlying cause of this, Abdul Haq? There was water in the radiator, or was it just about time? It just had to happen.
See, Marana, look, the thing is, obviously, you know, there are a couple sort of questions we got to ask, but I'll ask the questions and I'll answer them myself. Very, very importantly, firstly, if the vehicle at any time had been overheated prior to coming to the brother or whatever the case may be there, if it had been overheated prior, then obviously it's starting to show up now. So with the result, you're having that oil and water mixing up. You might not have it immediately. The other thing is, if he's just bought the vehicle, you know, a lot of guys are coming with this block leaks and this leaks and that leaks, and it does do a temporary sort of job. So when you buy the vehicle, you might not pick up the oil and water mixing as well. And then coming to the other fact is, Marana, if they hadn't put in what we call antifreeze in the cooling system, that is also a very, very important thing, because what happens is you will get some sort of corrosion on the cylinder head. Or the gasket itself, to a certain extent, will get water seepage or something like that. And one morning you could just start it up and you have a problem with your cylinder head gasket. The other thing as well, Molana, is I'm not too sure. I doubt it very much that the Daewoo Matis has what we call an oil cooler. What happens is also due to lack of antifreeze in the system. People tend not to believe us, but yes, you know, it does corrode to a certain extent, and it's very, very possible that you have a sort of corrosion in the oil cooler, and with the result you're having oil and water mixing up. There were certain vehicles that had that sort of problem, you know. But also the other thing is, with time, maybe the vehicle has developed a crack in the block, in the cylinder head. So I would suggest that the brother, first of all, have all the tests done as far as your radiator and that is concerned. And thereafter, I would personally, what I would do, if it is my vehicle, is put in some, an engine oil flush into the system, run it nicely. It depends now whether the oil is going into the water or the water is going into the oil. That also is another question.
And the brother says at this point in time it's not starting also.
Oopsie. Yeah, no, probably got too much of water on the top of the pistons, in turn wetting the spark plugs. And, you know, water and spark, it doesn't work with the spark plug. With electricity, yeah, it can give you a good shock. But when it comes to water on top of the pistons, So he's got seepage of water going, from what you're telling me now, Marana, he's more than likely got seepage of water on to the top of the pistons, and with the result, the vehicle is not starting either. And, you know, this vehicle is going to stand a little longer. You're probably going to end up with what we call engine seizure because of the, you know, water coming on, onto the pistons and going down maybe side on the rings, running down onto the bearings and things like that. So, yeah, I suggest the brother will have to...
But relatively cheap engines to maintain, Abdul-Haq, and to fix it up will be quite cheap, eh?
They're relatively okay, yeah. They're relatively okay.
And spares available at the local spare shops?
Yeah, because you remember something, your Daewoo and your GM products are almost the same thing, if not the same thing.
Right, Jazakallah. Yeah. Abdul-Haq, we're going to terminate the program. We say Jazakallah for the lovely program, 7.53 PMG. Final advices before we terminate, my brother.
Jazakallah, Molana. It was actually a pleasure doing the program with you after a while. I really enjoyed it, Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan to the callers. Jazakumullah khairan to the guys who send us the SMSs. Inshallah, you have a wonderful weekend and safe motoring as well, inshallah. And we request special du'as. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.